Welcome back, friends, to the show that is all about friendship and connection. If you're new to Girls Just Want to Tell Stories, welcome. We are so happy you're here. Maybe you found us through Facebook or Instagram, or maybe it was Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or maybe a friend recommended this podcast to you. However it is you found us, thank you for being here today. We would love to have you subscribe so you never miss an episode or a story. It's March 16th, 2021, and this is Girls Just Want to Tell Stories, Episode 9. You are invited to join me and my longtime BFF, Katie Walters, as we share with you stories from the dark side of friendship and explore mean girl culture. I'm Janine Lombardi, and this is Girls Just Want to Tell Stories.
Today, we're going to talk to you a little bit about mean girls, the phenomenon of mean girls. And the reason this came up recently for us is one of us had an experience, yes, as a 53-year-old woman dealing with something that we really felt was more reserved just for young girls, but not so much the case. So we're going to get to that later in the show. But Janine was reminding me of some funny flashback movies as we were getting ready to talk to you guys today.
I guess, sadly, there's a list of them, right? Yeah. There's a lot right. of movies that kind of highlight this mean girl behavior. And the obvious one people of kind of the current era probably know is Mean Girls with Lindsay Lohan from the early 2000s. But for us, the mean girl movie of the moment was called Heathers. And that film came out in 1988. And interestingly, it starred a fellow Petaluman, Winona Ryder, who, you know, I know she was in junior high class with my sister. She was one of the main characters in that movie. And, you know, there's some funny stuff out there that even contrasts, you know, the quotes from these two movies. But at the core, you know, both of them are about this quest for popularity. And you know, what happens when it can go too far, when you really, in the most extreme ways, which these movies portray what that means. And, you know, in Heathers, it's kind of like, if you don't like somebody, then kill them. But, you know, we don't condone that. But with the movie, you know, the movie has a classic line. So Christian Slater is also in this movie. And so Winona's character actually kills one of the mean girls. But here's the scene. She's standing over this girl and she says, "I just killed my best friend." And Christian Slater says, "And your worst enemy." And she says, "It's the same thing," right? So how interesting that, you know, someone's, you know, professed BFF really is their worst enemy as well. And we really did think this topic was worth diving into. While some of these movies can poke fun and make jokes about that type of behavior, you know, we want to share today about what are some of those root causes, you know, culturally, why does that sort of behavior show up in girls, this kind of, you know, backstabbing and gossiping and exclusion, and what we can do to help prevent that and you know, nurture an environment where mean girl behavior hopefully becomes a thing of the past. But as Katie was sharing, you know, it's still very much alive and it's not as generational as we might have thought, right? It's not just reserved for high school. And and so we were reflecting back on our own stories about maybe times when we've been the mean girl or, you know, received some of that behavior towards us. So, so Katie, why don't you start us off with a story that you shared around, you know, being a super young, innocent, didn't know she was being a mean girl.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's funny as you reflect back, like, oh my God, I was the mean girl. And I've been sharing that stories with some people and they're like, "What? No, you weren't." I'm like, "Yes, I was." So let's just flash back. Fourth grade, 10 years old, right? Walking to school with my then best friend and her little cousin, who was probably a year or two younger than us. Okay. Late 70s. Happy Days is the sitcom. Mm. And Fonzie has the girlfriend, Pinky Tuscadero. And she wore that pink satin jacket and had her hair up in a ponytail with that pink satin ribbon. And so my friend's little cousin, she has a little pink satin jacket and the hair ribbon. And we're walking to school one day. And she just irritated me. And so I don't remember the behavior, but I was like cutting her down. Mm. Well, and come to think of it, because when we went to Mervyn's, because that's where we shopped, yes, and I wanted the pink satin jacket. My mom says, no, we're not getting it today, whatever. And then when we went back, of course, all the pink jackets were gone. So I got stuck with, you know, the baby blue satin jacket, which I didn't want. But I mean, as reflecting now, like that girl had something that I wanted, and I just made her walk to school miserable. And, you know, she told her mom, and then I got in trouble over it. So I learned, you know, that there are consequences to bad behavior. And interestingly, I don't remember my friend at the time. I mean, it was her cousin. I don't remember her saying anything to me like, stop it, stop making fun of her. So again, you know, in order for some people to be mean, you sort of need other people to enable or follow along or not say anything. And that was the one case on that one fateful morning for that poor little girl.
Right, right. Yeah. Because, and that is something that happens, is that behavior, and maybe the person doesn't even realize, especially like at that young age, right? That right. you've done something wrong. But if someone had pointed it out, you might realize, oh yeah, that was kind of a crappy thing to do.
Right.
Yes. So people hesitate to maybe say something sometimes, but really they could be helping a lot and they just don't even realize it. So, you know, that's something you can do for sure. What happens when you have firsthand experience of feeling the hurt that comes from receiving that sort of behavior, maybe sharing with our audience, our listeners, what it feels like when you are the recipient of that behavior.
Well, I went to kindergarten to fifth grade in one school, and then we moved. So I was a brand new student at a new school, little country school for sixth grade. And, you know, I remember it was nerve-wracking. And at one point, all of a sudden on the playground or the blacktop, it was this weird phenomenon. No one was talking to me. And there were two girls that said, yeah, so-and-so said, we can't talk to you. And so I had the mean girl behavior on me. And I remember it was so awful. Here I am, 53, reflecting back to that moment, standing on the blacktop when no one would talk to me. The isolation was profound. And you just want to tuck into yourself. And I mean, it maybe lasted 2 days, 3 days, who knows? It felt like forever until this girl decided, oh, I can be your friend again. And, you know, after that, I sort of always tread lightly because I'm like, not sure I trust you fully, right. You know? And so then it kind of, you know, moves into our story. We go to junior high and you're, you know, all of a sudden with a lot of kids from all these other schools in Petaluma. And that's where you and I met in this instant connection. And, you know, we became friends and I didn't really hang out with that other girl anymore. And I remember a couple of years later, maybe in high school, I ran into her parents at a game and her mom was kind of snotty to me because I'm sure the mom thought, oh, you think you're too good for my daughter. You're not friends with her anymore. And I didn't say anything, but I thought, well, maybe you should talk to your daughter about her mean girl behavior because it really is devastating. It can be really devastating to a young girl. Yeah. And luckily for us in our group, we never had that. I don't remember any of us ever acting mean to anybody else or each other. There was not a lot of put downs. I mean, we all sort of, you know, they talk about the mean girls and this competition. And yes, there was competition, but I just really think we were lucky that we valued in each other our differences and were very supportive. So maybe we were an anomaly. I'm not sure.
Yeah. But, well, and I think our core group of friends, we had other groups of friends. Like, so I played softball in high school and forever. And, you know, I had friends that were my teammates and friends, you know, and then I had, you know, one of my cousins, who maybe hopefully she's listening, you know, she was a year older and her best friend, you know, she was my friend too. And, you know, so we had these other friends. And it wasn't ever trying to, it was like this idea of having a closed group versus an open group, right? In these, you know, in these girl movies or, you know, it's often like, there's this exclusion or this wall that people are being kept behind. And I do think that we managed to have a very kind of open gate, you know, but for both ways, you know, we felt we could be friends with other people. Cause sometimes in those kind of cliques, people feel like they can't be friends with someone else they want to be friends with because the rest of the group won't approve. Right. And
good
I don't think, you know, I think we felt very free and that really expanded our friendships, right? Because there were friends that people that you were closer to and did more things with that, you know, that I would be more friendly with because they were your friends. So they must be good people, right? You know, kind of thing.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I think, you know, your story highlights, Katie, one of the things to think about. And it's really difficult when you're 15, 16, 17 to think this way, but it's like, what else, what's going on beneath the surface for these people that are acting this way, right? And you know, in research around this, one of the things that they find is the driver is just this fear of being alone, which, you know, when you say that, nobody really wants to be alone, not for eternity. No. So maybe you like to have alone time, that's different. And so if the drive is to be quote unquote popular, which is really about just not feeling like you're alone or left out or excluded, but, you know, in these cases, it gets taken, you know, way too far. And, you know, this idea, sometimes, like you talked about, even you were just kind of jealous of the girl's jacket.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Poor thing. But she didn't do anything.
No. And then the situation where I was, you know, had everyone turn on me, you know, your, what was it, 11, 12 year old brain can't really even comprehend, oh, what is this girl thinking? You're just all of a sudden, it's like you're drowning or you're dog paddling, like, oh my God, what do I do? How do I get back? How do I get this feeling back? And maybe from her perspective or the mean girl perspective, it's also a power play.
Yes.
Like, oh, I'm going to enforce my will or my power and we're all not going to like her. We're going to be mean to her. And I don't even know if that's a conscious thing at 12 years old. I mean, maybe. Who knows? But
yeah. Right. But you're right. It is a power dynamic. I mean, even like one of the things telling people what it's okay to wear and not wear, or who else it's okay, like what boys are okay to like versus not like. Like,
sure.
The alpha, right? That's, I guess, kind of the alpha phenomena, the alpha in the group will kind of set the rules in those situations. And so again, differentiating kind of our group, we didn't have a lot of that, but I do think it's interesting, you know, to also differentiate, we're not talking about tough girls, right? So of another cousin who some, you know, might have seen her demeanor as tough, which didn't mean she was mean. And one of our close friends, you know, other people from the outside looking in might've perceived her toughness as potentially meanness, but that these are different things. And really in both of those cases, at least from my personal experience, it is around fierce love of their friends, right? Protection.
Yes.
You know,
we knew if we were ever in a fight, we wanted her in our corner because she would have kicked somebody's booty.
Yeah. So it's a loyalty thing,
yes,
right? So
that's
much, those behaviors I think are different than the ones that we're talking about, but just to kind of point that out. And I know we have a shared friend and I have other friends with daughters in high school that have struggled through some of this, like to where I've thought to myself, whew, I'm glad I'm raising boys, you know,
right,
kind of thing. And, you know, a whole kind of like you, where a whole group of friends just dropped our friend's daughter. Just, it's devastating at the time. Now, it's interesting to reflect back on my own son's kind of journey, where he has shifted and changed friend group based on kind of his interests. And, you know, you think you're going to be friends with your elementary school friends till you get to junior high school and then you make new friends. And
sure,
that kind of happens naturally anyways. You don't always, I mean, I do have friends from elementary school, but it'll probably be okay in the long run for, you know, again, our friend's daughter. But
sure. But she felt
in the
it.
Moment, yeah.
Well, and then there's the whole cyberbullying piece. You know, it's right. Not only just things that are happening at school or whatever. Now they have to deal with this whole internet piece, which, oh my God, I would have been done for. Seriously.
Yeah. Well, and that's why, you know, the depression and anxiety and all those things are on the rise for teens. It's something to be concerned about as parents. One of the things we always like to give you things to think about and to do is, are you having the conversations you need to be having with your teenagers around these things? It's easy to kind of throw up your hands or think maybe it's not impacting them because they're not saying anything, but of course they're not saying anything, right?
Right.
But if you notice, particularly if you notice a change in their behavior that's noticeable, you definitely, you know, want to intervene if you can.
Well, I have a friend and she has two daughters, 7 years apart, but there have been some things that have come up in the mean girl world, and she's really been able to sit down and just explain to them, you know, maybe this is why this is behavior is happening. So she's really been a great outlet. I just talked to her recently about this whole mean girls topic. Mm-hmm. And funny, just side story, she reminded me of, we had a book club before I left California to go to Montana. And there were these two girls in the book club. And I don't know who or how they came to be part of our book club, but they were total, I want to use the B word, but I'm not gonna, but they were so mean. And this book club ended up breaking up because it was just festering such bad, awful feelings. And, you know, the last one was just, it was almost a cat fight. It was almost like a Real Housewives at the table for this book club. And so we're like, after that, like, yeah, we're done.
That's interesting that you mentioned the Real Housewives, right? Because a whole industry of reality show based on friends fighting.
Yes.
Has been popularized.
Right.
Right.
And I'm guilty. I've watched.
It's interesting though, that's the draw in a way, right?
To yes.
You show up to see who's going to be mean to who is essentially what goes on. Right. And I guess, you know, there too, maybe that would be the great place to do the study, right? To take apart all of these episodes and go, okay, where is the conflict coming up? Now, some of that stuff is exaggerated and all
of course. And I'm sure that they're prompted to make it as dramatic as possible. But,
But you know, friendship is based on intimacy,
yes,
and trust. And if you're putting that on television for everybody to see, it's compromised right there. Right.
Right. Yeah.
It's compromised right there.
Well, and I think we need to loop into, you know, the reason that we decided to talk about this topic, because when you shared your story with me initially, I do believe that I was open-mouthed, aghast, couldn't believe it, was shocked that you had to witness or, you know, be victim of this behavior at our age.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, wanting to share the experience in a way that's still to a certain degree respectful of the situation and the people that were there,
because of course
it's so recent, and it'll help us highlight some of the points we want our listeners to take away on this topic as well. So what happened was I was on a trip with a friend. You know, it was couples, so three couples, and we were on a trip together, and I knew one of the couples and the other I really didn't, and so you've got this just new dynamic,
right?
That you're managing. And And we even took steps before to, you know, we all had dinner before we went away on this trip together. But what happens is we don't, right? So when you're someone's new, you don't have trust, rapport, even knowledge about when one person says something, are they joking or not joking? You don't even know, right?
Right.
So all of those things. One of the things that it taught me is that, you know, it's perception. I mean, I can know my intention, but the other person's perception. So what happened is, this person's partner, husband, informed me that I had said something that this woman thought was mean. And I and everyone else just about fell off their chair like you did with your open mouth, because that's yes. not me.
Right. And, well, anyone that knows you knows that you would never, ever intentionally be the mean girl.
I don't even remember making the comment, but it was about, a piece of clothing or something. But the long story short of all of this is what showed up, the reaction from this other person was really aggressive, mean behavior towards me, but not even directly to me, right?
So, yes.
And that's, you know, when people are saying something about you to other people and it's not true. And so in the moment, we're confined in a space together as well. And so this is where it's maybe different in your 50s versus when you're in high school. I could choose how I reacted to this whole thing, because I wanted to react in a certain way out of my own, like, you know, being upset around
self-preservation and standing up for yourself.
Yeah. But I just started to examine it from the root cause kind of piece
yes.
and think about what's really going on here. Cause I knew it had nothing to do with me. And when you can say that to your, you know, when you know, and the people around you can affirm, yeah, you know, something else is going on here, you know, then you can come at it from a place of empathy, right? And I really started to feel empathy for this person around, I have a type of relationship, which she had been in witness of, you know, with my partner, that she, you know, was perhaps jealous of, wishing she had had something, again, the pink jacket, wishing she had had something that I had. And I didn't know about any relationships issues that might have been happening there, or to either way to be sensitive.
Well, how would you? You didn't know them that well. So
yeah. So I think there is that. I think the other thing we talked about too is sometimes when there's three friends, right? Three, you know, the other two were closer, and I maybe I just she felt I was a threat to her friendship.
Right, right.
Rather than thinking of it as, oh, I can make a new friend here. I'm coming in to take her friend away from her. But there could have been some of that there. But when I could get into that space, and this is kind of happening in the moment, because if we don't pause and try to kind of our head straight around something like this, this is when there is, you know, true like fighting and yelling and screaming and
tables get turned over.
Yeah. And things like that. Right. So none of that happened. I just chose to view the situation as something that this woman needed to work out. And, you know, and they abruptly left the trip the next day. And, you know, that was their choice. And I know I personally did not cause that.
Sure. Sure.
Was emotionally draining, you know, to manage the situation. And here we are in this really lovely getting away for the first time in almost a year with all the COVID restrictions.
Right. And, right.
But I really, I mean, I was able to sit with it in a better way, knowing that, and it's not about like taking the high road or anything like that. It's really just trying to see the situation from someone else's point of view to tell myself that there are multiple stories here, not the one that she's telling everyone else is the story, because that's her perception. And maybe that's what she believed. And, you know, and I did the best to communicate what I could to alleviate any misperception she has. But at the end of the day, she's going to hold on to that. And here's the thing, when we all have limited time in a way, I can move on from that. Like, I don't need to even go back and need to try to mend that fence in a way. Like, I have so many of my friends that I wish I could be spending more time with and on the phone and in together. And so
when we were talking in before taping today, you know, males show their aggression more outwardly, right? And females, we show, you know, more non-physical. So that's where the gossiping comes in and the, oh my God, can you believe she said that or she did this or whatever. And you know, I know from my time in that one Mean Girl episode, you know, we're masking insecurity. We're feeling insecure or not good enough or wanting something ourselves. And that's sort of what comes out when we have these episodes of Mean Girl behavior. And, you know, we had another incident that we were talking about that happened at a high school reunion. And, you know, a comment was made to someone, and I was actually at the scene when it happened, and I didn't really catch it. But as I was reflecting on it, I thought, wow, I had a moment where this is happening, and you could say, hey, you know, why are you acting like that? Or why are you doing that? That's bad behavior. Don't do that. And I said nothing. So I, in a way, was perpetuating that mean girl bad behavior because I didn't stand up to the person. And I want to say it might have been a little joking. I mean, I don't really know what the intention was. Right. But it really did hurt the other person. So
right, and you were sharing for a long time. It didn't just hurt in the moment.
No, because I feel like you sort of go back and you just kind of grab all of your baggage, right? And you just sort of carry it with you. I mean, it takes a long time to unpack all of that. I mean, even look at me talking about the sixth grade blacktop issue. I mean, I still remember how awful it felt. And in fact, that girl had come to my house one time and we had done an activity or something. And she had gone later and said to people, oh, we went to her house and we did this stupid thing. And that had gotten back to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then I reflected, I was always nervous about people coming to my house because I wanted to make sure that they wouldn't think it was stupid. Like if we did something, are they going to think it's stupid? So even that insecurity carried on with me.
So that's why, you know, we thought it was important to talk about the subject today. And as much as, you know, we try to have girls having fun stories, you know, friendship is about a lot of things. And we want to be as real as we can in the show as well for all of you, so that if you find yourself in a situation, maybe you'll have a point to grasp onto, to take a different action, to, like you were sharing, Katie, to say something, you know, to somebody that you might know that the other person is, you know, not feeling good about, or to include somebody that maybe isn't always coming to the girl happy hours or the book club, you know. I was invited at one point, my friend, Kim, she was a school teacher and the whole book club was school teachers, but she knew I loved to read and she invited me and I became part of their book club, not knowing anybody except for her. And they just welcomed me in, right? Like that's the kind of stuff we can do.
Right.
Or
inclusion. You
know, a place this shows up a lot, I think, is for parents, right? maybe your new group of parents to a school. I have found actually those kind of parent groups can be kind of clicky and felt like sometimes you got to kind of elbow your way in, you know? So again, can you be more welcoming to people that are new, that are coming into the group?
Well, even in the workplace, I mean, how many of us have new people coming into the workplace and new person on your team that doesn't know all the ins and outs and the secret jokes and all of the whatever. Yeah. So that's a perfect time when we can practice inclusion, involving people. If you're going out to happy hour afterwards, you invite the new person along. I mean, those are ways that we can do it even now.
Kept going on this, you know, the workplace stuff, these kind of behaviors can definitely show up as well. So we hope today that you'll be inspired to be more inclusive, to say something if you are in a situation where you observe some behavior that you think could be harming one of your friends or someone in the group, and just to think about if you find yourself acting in a way that you're not proud of, right? Because we're trying to show you all too that we are real, that we make mistakes and we aren't perfect friends, but we are always trying to be better friends. And so to ask yourself when you see this show up in yourself, or even just that jealousy or that maybe you don't act on it, but you think it or you feel it.
Right.
Why is that? What is the trigger for you? And that's what you can do the work on, right? That's what you can try to kind of settle, because maybe there is a problem somewhere else that needs addressing, and where you're channeling, you know, your energy is not the right place. So we hope that you'll think about all of this and go out there and always do your best to be a good friend.
Yes. Well, and can I end with one story?
Yes,
back to the pink jacket.
Of course.
So when Joe was in the army in Korea, he bought a pink satin jacket for me and a red satin jacket for Janine. And he had our names embroidered on them. And this, what is it? The big
dragon.
Eagle or the dragon.
Dragon.
You have a big dragon on the back. So long story short, you wait long enough, people, you get the pink jacket.
And one for your friend.
That's right. See, inclusion.
All right, friends, there you have it. You can find us, Girls Just Want to Tell Stories, wherever you stream your favorite podcasts. We hope you'll join us on this journey and share it with anyone who might find friendship and community within these stories. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being our friend.